Good morning. Okay, let's do this. Let's do this back and forth. Good morning.
Good morning.
Such a welcome and encouraging thing for a guy who stands up in front of people and talks to say good morning and know that at least for a few moments, everybody is right there with him. Man, is every week that I'm not here, one of the things I do, usually on Monday, but sometime on Tuesday, I listen to Jeremy's sermon, and man, it's good. So good to do that. And I'm scared to death to listen to myself because I really don't like the way I look or sound. So, you know, that's a problem. Everybody says, that's okay, it's good. I said, look at that, that's kind of wild. But here's the quote. I always come up with some quotes from Jeremy. So here's the one that got me last time. It says, not exactly, I changed a little bit, but it says, the disciples didn't follow Jesus because of what he taught. They followed him because of who they believed he might be. The Messiah, the Son of God. They followed him because of who they believed he might be. And as it turns out, that leads into the sermon for today. And this is the last, for sure, this is the last sermon in the series of Born Again, because that sucker was just going on and on and on. And so we're going to do something a little different starting next week, and I'll talk to you about that next week, but show up, it'll be a surprise. But this idea of they believed, they followed him because who they thought he might be. And I want to ask this question, why did he come? Why was he here? He was here for a purpose. He was born for a purpose. And so are you. And so am I. You know, in the book of Esther, it says that she was born for such a time as this. And I believe so are you. So are you. But I'm going to get to this in this way by asking this question. And I'm asking this question really because it's a question we ask each other often is how are you doing? How are you doing? And so everybody just turn to your neighbor there and ask them how they're doing and get some kind of response. And here, you can't say, I'm fine, okay? Just go ahead, do that. How are you doing? Okay, don't get too carried away from that because we are gonna go to lunch later today. So how are you doing is the question we ask. And we really kind of don't want the whole story. Usually we want sort of a brief story, but we do like it when we're with people we know if they're real. You know, we like it for them to be real. Man, I knew I'd get Jennifer started back there and it's gone and on. Conversation's good. Well, and you know, how you doing? And now I want to ask, well, what do you mean? How really deep do you want me to go with that answer? What do you mean? How am I doing? And because, you know, we got good things, bad things, normal, abnormal. But there is a lens that we look at that question through, the lens we look through to that question and then form our answer. And are you talking about how I'm feeling? Are you talking about my emotional and physical feelings? Or are you maybe talking about my faith? Would that be a different answer if you answered, how's your faith today? Well, it stinks because, you know, I have a cough. Man, I'm having a horrible time with allergies in Abilene. I don't know how it is over here where you live, but it's terrible and it's killing me. But it's even worse on Mary Beth because she's asthmatic and she's been an inhaler person and so she gets started with the allergies and it turns in, it's horrible. How are you feeling? Terrible. But how are you feeling if I look at that through the lens of faith? And then I remember what the Kenyans say, right? What do they say? God is good. And then, man, sometimes you don't want to say that back all the time, but you know he is. My faith says he's good all the time. So here's a question I also want to ask you. And this is what I really want to know when I'm asking you, how are you? How is it with you and God? How is it with you and God? How are you doing? How are you doing? How are you doing with God? So I'm going to do this little exercise here. And I'm going to say words, just one word. And when I say this one word, you're going to kind of give me an evaluation of yourself on how you're doing in terms of this one word. And the way you're going to do it is if you are, it's a fist 0 through 5 range. So if it's terrible, you're going to put up a fist. If it's a little better than terrible, it's a 1. If it's the best it's ever been, it's a 4. Yeah, I got it. You know, 5's the highest, fist is the lowest, and we're all going to do it all at the same time. So go ahead and get your little fist up. Now, this first one, I'm going to say the word, but I'm going to have to explain it just a little bit so you do the right thing. So the first one is, in terms of trials, how are you doing? So if you're having a lot of trials, then you're going to put up a 5. If you're having no trials, life is a breeze, you're going to put up a fist, okay? Fist of 5, trials. Give it to me. So some not too many, and then some, yeah, lots of trials. Okay, next one, growth. How are we doing? And I'm talking about spiritual, emotional maturity, growth. How you doing? So we got some. So here's Sally over here. I'm going to point her out. She's low on trials, right? But high on growth. Well, that's usually not the way it works. Usually the way it works, if you're having trials, you're growing. Okay? But it's still, you know, a lot of times I love it. Man, as a football coach, one of the things I love is to be able to teach guys what they did wrong, but I didn't want to have to lose to teach them that, you know? I hate it when people say, well, you know, you lost, but well, you're going to learn something from that. I said, but couldn't we have won and still learned something? You know? So here's the next one. Fist of 5, peace. 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 Next one. Frustration. That's a 5. 5 is a lot of frustration. Fist is no. You know, so actually, the peace and frustration ought to kind of be opposites there, but you know, sometimes. Energy. How are you doing? Energy. Yeah, I ain't got no energy, man. I'm dragging. Okay. Sadness. You're very sad. You're not sad at all. Last one is hope. Hope. Yeah, we're a hopeful group of people. Why are you here? What is the purpose for your birth and life? Why are you here? So I'm going to talk about that. With this as a backdrop, how you're feeling, how you're doing, why are you here? So this is the question I ask, how are you doing, and so on. But when I was teaching Bible, and I taught Bible for 14 years at ACU, I taught sophomores, my Old Testament class was in the fall. I taught called a Christianity and Culture is what it's called in the spring. But my sophomore class of my big one was the Old Testament class. They would have 60 to 90 kids. Sometimes we'd draw in chairs and have more. But at the beginning, not the very first day, but soon after, I would ask them this question, why are you here? Why are you here? And then, like some of us, some people have made a decision not to be here this morning for a variety of reasons, but all of y'all, you're here because you chose to be here, right? You chose to come this morning. You made a decision to come. Now, again, imagine yourself answering these questions, but also pretend you're a 19-year-old sophomore in my class. And so then I'd say, well, okay, why did you choose to come? Why did you choose to come to this particular class this morning at 8 o'clock or whenever it was? And they would always hit me back with, because it's required. I said, no lie. Who would come to an Old Testament Bible class if it wasn't required? You know, there'd be about three, maybe four. And I'd say, well, what does you mean? What do you mean it's required? Is somebody got a gun to your head making you come? He says, no, it's required for my degree. So why do you want to get a degree? I would say, well, you know, if I get a degree, I want to get a degree so I can get a job. And I would say, well, you know, you can get a job without having a degree. I said, but I want to get a good job. And I would say, well, what is a good job? Well, a good job, if you're 19, a good job is one that's easy, fun, and makes a lot of money. You know, that's it. And they all kind of had ideas what that were. Some of them were foolish right off the bat. I want to be a teacher. I don't got to make a lot of money. It might not be fun sometimes. But anyway, you see where that was going, though. Why are you here? Why are you here? So this is a question I'm asking us. Why are you here? Do you have a purpose in your whole life? I mean, you've made the choice to show up today. I'm not talking about, but why are you here at this point? I want to read to you Acts 17 for just a second and go back at this question. Acts 17. Paul's in Athens. He's dialoguing with the Athenians, I guess that's what you'd call them. And he's done that, his famous speech in the Areopagus. And he says, you know, I see that you're very religious. You have images to these gods, temples everywhere. He says, but God is not, the God I worship is not one. He's the unknown God, okay? And then it says this about him. He says, from one man, God made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their hands, of their lands. So he's marked out your time, and he's marked out. You ever wonder why you were born in America and not Africa? I'm glad I wasn't born in Kenya. I'm just telling you, I'm glad I was born in San Saba, Texas. But what? Why? Why here? What? Is there a reason? Is there a purpose? Well, and why? Why was I born in 1953? Why? I'm glad I wasn't born too much earlier than that, because I like running water. You know, we discussed that already a couple weeks ago. But it says this, verse 27, says God did this so that they, human beings, would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He's not far from any one of us. You're here in this place, in this time, like other people before you and other people after, but you specifically, you know, you, Sally, and you, Leanne, and you, Bradley, you're here so that you might possibly reach out seeking for God, that you would reach out and find Him, even though, boom, He's right here. But evidently, we need to do a little bit of reaching for Him. Why are you here? I'm here to seek God and find Him. I'm here to know Him more. Like the song we sang a minute ago, I'm going to know Him more. I want to love Him. That's why I'm here. That's your purpose. And we're going to take different paths to get there. And so let's talk about this, though, because sometimes, a lot of times we get confused about our purpose. So I'm mentoring this kid, this guy at ACU. He's a sophomore. He got in trouble with the dean's office. He's a football player. He's a son of one of my former players. And the probation thing at ACU requires to have a mentor. So he, because his dad told him, asked if I could be his mentor. Awesome, you know? And so I'm meeting with this kid every 2 weeks, and we're having a good time. He's a great kid. I mean, really super kid. Made a couple of dumb decisions, like none of us have, but he did. And so he's on probation. We probably all ought to be on probation for something, you know? I mean, really, you know? But he has to meet with me, and so we're talking. I'm talking to him about, what's your life going to look? He's real smart. He's going to be an accountant, and he's good for the job, but he's brilliant, smart, very organized. He's so unlike me as a student regarding that part. But I ask him, 10 years from now, what do you see? What do you see? He's from the North Fort Worth kind of area. He said, I want to live somewhere in the North Texas area. Okay. What else? What are you going to be doing here? What's life going to be like for you? He said, well, I want to have a job. And I'm thinking, I know, good job. Lots of pay. It's easy. I like it. You know, that kind of thing. But he talked about it a little more specific. He said, I want to have some friends I can hang out with. And maybe 10 years, he's 19, said, I'll have a girlfriend and maybe we'll be engaged. I don't want to be married yet, but okay. What are you going to do? And I want to, you know, I'll have some buddies and we'll play golf and, you know, hang out, go to restaurants and stuff. I said, okay, good. And in my mind, I'm thinking, why are you here? Why are you here? Is this it? Is this the purpose of my life? I'm going to have a nice car, a nice house, and a nice neighborhood. Why am I here? I'm thinking about you right now. Why do you come to CCC? Why are you a part of this group? Why are you here? Not here this morning because you chose to get up and drive. I'm going back to that. But why are you here on a regular basis? Why are you here? I'm glad you are. I mean, everybody brings something different to the room. And from my perspective, which is unique, you know, everybody who gets to stand up here gets to see this little deal out here. But it's cool. I'm so glad Shelby was here this morning. That was good. Her singing was, you know, right? Yo, it was good. But I'm glad. I know. I love when Jennifer gets to make it because I think, oh, Jennifer's feeling good. And, you know, she's here and she likes me. And so she usually has something both snarky and kind at the same time. You know, it's a unique thing. Quite a few people have that gift in this church. But why are you here, really? Why do you come to CCC? Why are you a member, I guess I should say? Why are you a member? I thought this to my friend Tony when he was going to Ukraine the first time. He's gone and come back, got back this weekend, been there two times. And these guys, the 13 boys he has that are still stuck in Ukraine, can't go to another country. They have teamed up, these 13, 19 to 24-year-old kids, they have teamed up with a bakery and are buying flour with donations they're getting from the U.S. and baking bread and taking it to the people who all of a sudden now that this city used to have, you know, 80,000 people and now it's got a quarter of a million people. How do you think about that? And so they're just making and breaking bread. Anyway, why did he go? And he asked me to go. And I said, right off the bat, the Holy Spirit told me no. I'm pretty sure it was the Holy Spirit, but it was a no for sure. I didn't really have a reason to go. I had a reason to stay more than I had to go. Why am I here? Why did he go? Why did he go? My UPS guy, not my son who drives for UPS, but where I go to the little UPS store in my neighborhood, he knows me, knows my family, knows all about our story. So he's asking me some stuff and he's asking me about you because he knows I come over and preach here. So he asked this question. He said, are y'all growing? And I'm thinking, okay, what does that mean for sure? But I said, yes, I'm pretty sure we are. At least I am. I'm growing. I know I'm growing. So we really don't have very many new members because, you know, our approach is when somebody comes, man, they're like blood in shark water. You got it today, Kristen. In a good way, in a kind and good, and we care about you kind of way. But are we growing? Well, yes. I think so, but the question is, why are you here still? Why are you here? I was thinking about being a football coach, some people at ACU have asked me to come back and do some brainstorming about some way we could do some, they could do some spiritual development of the all the different athletes. There's about 450 athletes at ACU. And could there be some kind of intentional program kind of thing where we could feed into them, pour into them some kind of spiritual guidance and stuff? So they're asking me about that. But it made me go back to thinking, is why, and I would talk to guys in one of their players and I said, well, why are you here? Why do you want to go to college and play on the football team? Why do you want to play football? And there was always one answer that was by far more than any other. You want to guess what that is? Why do you want to play? Well, I want to win. That's what you say. If a player doesn't say that, you wonder if you really want him to play for your team. But I want to win. But me, as I would tell them, well, that's not the reason I want you to come play for me. I believe you can help us win, and I want to win. I definitely want to win, but I want you to become the best man you can become. In the next 4 years, I want your experience here to help you become the man that God intends you to be. And that was a little off-putting to some parents and people. They're like, is that mere business? And I wanted them to know it's going to be. If you come here, it's going to be. So I probably lost some guys on that, you know, but I probably got some others. But that's the truth. I mean, I wanted to win, but I figured that it would take care of itself if these guys were becoming the man that God created him to be. Dad used to recruit for Hendrick Hospital. He'd recruit doctors. This was after his hands and grip had caused him to retire from being a surgeon. And so one of the things he did was recruit. And he would talk to doctors and ask them, why'd you become a doctor? And they would usually say the reason he wanted to hear, because sometimes you say what you know the person wants you to hear in the interview. I don't know. Maybe you're not like that. But mostly. So I said, well, I want you to know this. There's two main reasons people will say they want to make money and they want to help people. If your first thing is to make money, you're not going to be as happy as you're going to be as if your first priority is helping people. You'll still make a lot of money because the setup is for that if you're a doctor. But helping people is the most important thing. So here's the thing about us and God. Why am I here? This whole PowerPoint is just questions, but here's the two I want to finish with. Do you know God, and does your life honor him? And in this, do you know God, we're going to read again some scripture. Because in Acts, we got this idea that we're put here, right now. What is it? 2022. Arlington, Pantego, Texas, to seek God. To seek God. Excuse me. Here's Paul, though. He's writing to his friends in Philippi. He's in jail in Rome. He already said it's better for him to die, but he knows he's going to have to stay alive because it's better for you if he stays alive. This is what I think about my drive over here. If I hit a bus, I'll die. It'd be better for me, but I need to come for your sake. And Mary Beth does not like for me to say that. But, you know, sometimes she's not here. But here's what he says later. He's talking about his life. In verse 1, he says, it's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again and again. It's a safeguard for you. But watch out for those evildoers. And he's talking about the legalists. So he says, don't mess with them. They're gonna drag you down. I could have been a legalist, he says. This is in part of verse 4. If others think they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, in being a good person, I have more. And he goes on to his list of different things. He's got different achievements. I started to bring all my diplomas. I got a bunch of diplomas. I have a bachelor's degree from ACU. I have a high school degree from Junction City, Kansas. I have a master's degree from ACU. I have a doctor's degree from Texas Tech University. I have another master's degree from ACU. And then I have my all-time favorite. I have my kindergarten from Houston Christian School diploma. And Paul, what Paul's basically saying, he's got all these diplomas and he says they're just garbage. And that's the way, honestly, I kind of feel about mine because none of them really helped me get anywhere except the kindergarten one. But he says, wow, what's more? He says, whatever gains I had, whatever I did, I consider everything as a loss, as the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. He said, for his sake, I consider everything else garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but the one that comes through faith. That's the kind of righteousness I want, on the basis of faith. Verse 10, I want to know Christ. That's me. I just want to know him. Because when I know him, this is what I've already found out, even as I'm getting to know him. And I'm 69 years old, been getting to know him for a long time. How do you get to know someone? You first meet them. What'd you say, Jeanette? Yeah, you got to spend some time with them. And you know, it's hard with Jesus because he doesn't like Starbucks. Well, he doesn't dislike Starbucks, but he doesn't go there with me to drink it. But sometimes I do sit with him. Have you ever sat with Jesus at Starbucks? It's a great experience. Take your Bible, or you don't even have to take your Bible. Take a pencil and just sit there, drink a cup of coffee and watch people and talk to Jesus about them. I mean, really, I've done this and it's pretty cool. Just watch people and talk to Jesus about them. But again, I got to read my Bible. I got to know the stories. What did Jesus do? What did he say? I need to know that. And man, we eat pretty good spiritual food here at this church. You got a fantastic preacher. Amen. Calm down. On the days Jeremy comes. But then, you know, man, Dr. Vanderland, boom, home run. Each other, man, we are people who know the word pretty good. You get a group of people this big together and have a dueling Bible contest, you know, what do you call that? Bible Bowl. Get out of our way. I mean, we could take them. But also, we live it, and we're trying to live it with each other. So we know him pretty good. But I want to know him more. I want to seek him with all of my heart. I want to seek him. Well, this other question, does my life honor him? We did that one. I want to read this, and then I want to just read a couple of things, and we'll sing this song. I love life song when I'm talking about this idea. Because I want to sign my name at the end of each day. I want to sign his name, that Jesus put his stamp on my day. Well, here's what Colossians 3:17 says. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Man, can I do the things I do in the name of Jesus? Now, for instance, I have 168 hours this week coming up. By the way, so do you. So can I write my name and Jesus' name at the end of those? Did I spend 168 hours for Jesus? Because some of those are going to be rest. And I know sometimes God's telling me to go to sleep and I'm saying I want to watch one more episode. And God says, you should go to sleep. I say, okay. But how do I use my time? Do I use it in Jesus' name? Can I do everything in Jesus' name? How about what I read and what I listen to? What I read and what I listen to. Obviously, Steve needs to get a new way to listen to the news, right, Art? So he'll know that Ukraine is still in the news every day. But what do you listen to? Am I listening to this in Jesus' name? How I treat my family. You know, a lot of my interactions with people, my number one is going to be family. Do I treat Mary Beth in Jesus' name? In word, everything I do with her, word and deed, In Jesus' name, my mom, my dad, my friends, other strangers I meet, do I treat people in ways that Jesus would sign his name to? Good job, Bob. Thank you. Thank you for blessing that person you didn't even know at the store. You know, Jesus, yes. Thank you for not getting into another argument with somebody that they said something you didn't like. Thank you for not doing that. Jesus, sign Jesus. I want to do everything in his name. Can I control my thought life? At the end of the day, do I want to look back and say, and Jesus, sign off and say, Bob, thank you. Your mind started going here and you know that's not the right place. So you, like I told through Paul, I told you in Corinthians that take that thought captive, reel that sucker back in here because you were going down the road you've been down before and you know that thought takes you in places you should have gone. Did I focus my attitude? You know, a lot of times going to work, you can get your attitude straight. How many of you ever done that? Just from the time you got started your drive and you get there, your attitude changes about work. And sometimes it goes down and sometimes, but could you choose? And Jesus say, everything you do in word or do it in the name of Jesus. I want to control my attitude, which is then going to control my actions when I get there as I drive to work. Whoa, can I do everything in Jesus' name? I want to sing the song, Life Song, right now. And as we sing that song, I want to just think about this. Why are we here? Why did you come? Why did God plant you where you're alive here in April of 20,000? Whoa, 20, is that right? 2022. Right here, right now. And I want to say one more thing. I'm looking back at Shelby and Lucas and just the youth that they have. I remember when I was young, right? But God has me here as an older person. Me and Art, high five. We're just high fiving. And he's got them here as younger people. Why? Same reason. So that we'll seek God. They're doing it in their time and place and way. I'm doing it in my time and place and way. But God has brought us all here for this purpose, for this reason. We'll seek him and we'll come to know him and we'll come to love him. And then we'll start doing the things he's asked us to do. Be ministers of reconciliation. We're going to make disciples. There's a lot of things. We're going to love our neighbors. As we come to know and love him more, he'll sign his name to the end of our day. Let's sing. Go ahead and have a seat. Jenny has something she'd like to say and share with all of us today.
Good morning, church. How are you today? So I thought this piece that I have to share with you guys today correlates with what Bob has talked about today. So if you don't know, my cousin Grace, she's in the seventh grade. She's super active in her school and she does a lot of things with her school. So yesterday I went to go see a play and she wasn't in it. She was doing the background work. And there's this patrol officer at her school. And I was talking to him and not sure how this conversation came up, but he was in the Army from about 2004 to 2013. And if you don't know, my family and a lot of my family members have been in the military, whether they're currently in the military or retired. And something struck me. He said, every day I went in the military and served for our country, I pray that I would die out on that field. And it wasn't for him. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for his daughter. And I said, well, why? Why would you want to die? And he said, if I died out on this field, I would be dying knowing that my daughter would be set for the rest of her life. God never answered that prayer. God never did. And he said, I don't know why he didn't answer it. And it just made me think, like, God is not going to say yes to every single prayer that you pray for. And when God says no, and you're frustrated, and you're mad, and you're upset because God said no, think about the reason why God said no to whatever it is, because no is a redirection in your life. And I think God redirected him because he was meant to come back to Texas and be a security officer for these kids that are struggling so much in school now. So that's my little message for you guys.
Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you, Jenny. I'm just, that by the story, just, yeah, redirecting our prayers, you know, that perhaps maybe not only will his daughter be set for life, but set for eternal life with some other, you know, influence from others. Man, it's been a good day. And we come, the most important part of our time, I've said many times, is when we leave. Because we're going out into a world where we're going to live our life song. So let's do that. Next week, we're going to start on something a little bit different. If you show up, you'll figure it out. Okay? See you.